I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether that's a 5K run, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5-minute dip in the sea, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. This season, I've teamed up with Spotlight Oral Care. I know how important oral care is to our overall health and how we really need to look after our teeth and gums by using the best products. I've been using the Spotlight Oral Care Sonic Toothbrush and I love that it gives me that dentist clean feeling and is much more effective than a manual brush and less abrasive. Use the discount code GOODGLOW25 on spotlightoralcare.com to get 25% off the entire range. Why not pick up some perfect stocking fillers this Christmas and get them delivered straight to your front door? This week on the Good Glow podcast, I speak to Michaela O'Shaughnessy. You may know her as Life of a Lady Bear on Instagram. Michaela's from Galway and moved to New York 6 years ago. A real Irish success story, Michaela has worked for MTV, Teen Vogue, Glamour, and now Instagram. I really wanted to do a podcast this week that reflected how Irish people abroad might be feeling right now, missing home and unsure what lies ahead. It's been a long year for us all, but every day I felt so lucky to have my family just around the corner. I get messages every week from Irish people living abroad who listen to my podcast in Australia, Dubai, Canada, the US, and I know many of them miss home so much. I wanted to do something this week to let them know that I hope they're not too lonely and manage to get home this Christmas. Michaela has a fascinating life. She lives on the Upper East Side of New York. She speaks about fellow Irish woman Samantha Barry, who is editor-in-chief of Glamour magazine, who hired her and was so supportive. We speak about the madness of this year, how it made her love New York even more, and her advice to people who have a dream. I hope you love it. Michaela, welcome to the Good Glow podcast.
Hello, Georgie. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited for this conversation today. I have been following you on Instagram, Life of a Lady Bear, over the last couple of years, fascinated by your life. And it's so great to see how well you're doing in America and an Irish success story. So I'm so excited to hear your story today.
Oh, thank you, Georgie. And also, can I just say that part of my Sunday morning routine is popping on an episode of The Good Glow and walking my dog in Central Park. So I'm so thrilled to be here. And thank you so much for having me on.
Well, that's amazing to hear that somebody's listening to The Good Glow in Central Park on a Sunday. Wow. Let's start, I suppose, with Christmas. And you're an Irish person living abroad. You're from Galway. What has 2020 been like for you? And will you get home this Christmas?
Yes. So 2020, I think, as for everyone, has just been such a challenging way in so many ways. I am going home for Christmas. And honestly, Georgie, it was kind of a hard decision to make. I'm a huge home bird. And as you said, from Galway, and all of my family live there. And typically every year I try and make it home every 6 months or so. So usually I go for a week in the summer and then, of course, for Christmas. But for this year, obviously, because New York was really ravaged by COVID earlier on this year, and we just made the decision to, you know, put our family first and safety precautions. So we didn't go home during the summer. And then when it came to deciding going home for Christmas, we were really stuck. Obviously, I think a lot of people will not be going home this year, which is, you know, unfortunate, but in many cases, probably the right decision to make. But we did ultimately decide to go home, and we're going to take all precautions that we need to take. So, for instance, testing and things like that are very available here in New York. So we'll get tested the day we go, and we'll do, you know, the government mandated quarantine when we get home. But then hopefully we'll be reunited in time for Christmas with our families. And the wonderful thing is now we're both, my fiance and I, we're both working from home and in jobs that, you know, facilitate that. So we're actually going home for a good month to allow us to do the quarantine and then also spend some time with our family. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, what a year it's been. And have you felt lonely at times? I know you've got a gorgeous fiance, Connell, yeah, and great friends over there. But what has it been like as an Irish
person abroad during a global pandemic?
You know, it's been just such a roller coaster. When I think back to March, when, you know, COVID was really beginning to take over, I left the office on a Friday and we thought we would be back 2 weeks later. And to think that now it's nearly 9 months has passed and, you know, everyone's life has changed in so many ways. And I think when you think back to March, April, and May in New York, where it was really the epicenter of the pandemic, and we all saw terrible things here. You know, we saw a field hospital being put up in Central Park. We saw lots of freezer trucks out on the streets outside of hospitals. And it was just absolutely heartbreaking. But on the other side of that, I feel like in a weird way, it actually made me love New York even more than ever, because, you know, every evening at 7 o'clock, people would just open their windows and start clapping and hitting pots and pans out of celebration of the healthcare workers. And it was just for 4 months, this happened every day at seven. And it was like such an emotional thing to experience. And seeing the way that, you know, people did come together who were left here in the city. Now, that said, a lot of my friends left, a lot of my Irish friends went home to Ireland. A lot of my American friends here who live in different states went back to their families. So it definitely was lonely. And even still, it's several months later, and I feel like life has changed in such a way that those typical gatherings, you know, meeting your friends at the weekend and going here and there, it's all still different, even though, you know, the cases have been okay here for the past few months. Everyone is still very, very cautious, and life just hasn't, you know, got back to normal, and obviously will not for the foreseeable future. So it has been lonely. But on the flip side, you know, there's been positives to take from it as well. And I'm trying to hold on to those where I can.
Yeah. And your positivity shines through. And I suppose before COVID, we would have said, you know, the world is actually so small. You can get anywhere. You can mm-hmm. hop on a plane. You can yeah. come home. You know, it must have been hard for you to feel like, you know, you're in a different country, yeah. getting home is not so easy. That must have been tough for you.
Yeah, it absolutely was tough. And I always think of home, you know, I always say to myself, if I needed to be home, I could be home in the morning. You know, that's the great thing about New York, the flight. It's not like I'm living in Australia where it's, you know, much more of a trek to get home. And the one thing I did feel about COVID here was, you know, it just felt like that distance was further than it needed to be. And that definitely weighed on me at times, because I am so close to my family. Like, honestly, Georgie, you would laugh. At 29, I FaceTime my mom and dad probably twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. So thank God for technology is all I'll say.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure they miss you so much and are so excited for you to get home this Christmas. And I hope you have an amazing Christmas with them. And you speak there about New York, and I think it's such a lovely way to look at it. And you have obviously, you know, looked at New York with such compassion over the last couple of months and everything New Yorkers have been through. And how did you keep yourself well during this mm-hmm. year?
Yes. Yeah, so I initially, when, you know, work from home orders were put in place, I was actually so anxious because I've never been one that liked working from home. I've always loved, you know, working in an office and seeing my friends every day. And then after a week or two, I just really got into a routine, and routine has been key for me during this time. So at the very start of the pandemic, you know, everywhere was closed except for food shops. So we would do one food shop every Saturday or Sunday. And then apart from that, during the week, the main thing that got me through was getting outside where I could. So I actually started doing Couch to 5K back in March. Now, I did reach 5K, but I haven't got beyond that in the past 9 months. But I must take that up again. But getting outside in the morning and in the evening for a little walk, or taking a Pilates class in the morning from the comfort of my bedroom, really, really did help me. And then one thing actually that I think a lot of people, experienced during the pandemic as well. I actually adopted a dog. His name is Duke, and he's been a great distraction for us throughout this time, and just kind of bringing some joy to our household and honestly making it feel even more like home than ever before. So getting out for walks with him, and just the wonderful thing about New York that my mom also always reminds me of, you know, when we're in lockdown in New York, I can still step outside my front door. I live here on the Upper East Side, and I can walk to Central Park. It's 5 minutes away. I can walk down Fifth Avenue and see the Guggenheim Museum and the Met Museum and all of these beautiful buildings. So even though, you know, I'm not going here, there, and everywhere, I feel like there's still so much to see from my doorstep. And for that, like, I'm so thankful. I genuinely haven't needed to leave the Upper East Side, you know, for months. I can just see everything I need to see here and get everything I need to get here. So that in a way has been a big blessing as well.
Wow, that's amazing that you have the park on your doorstep.
I know myself,
you know, like the healing powers of nature and just being surrounded by grass and trees just makes such a difference to your mental health.
Oh, absolutely.
And how has New York changed? Is the busyness gone? I suppose as someone who lives in Ireland and has only traveled to New York on holiday, you know, you can barely walk down the street there. How different is it now?
You know, it has changed drastically. The hustle and bustle of the old New York is not back yet. But that said, I do think people are adapting to this new way of living. So for instance, you know, all of the restaurants have outdoor dining. So you walk by on a Friday evening, Saturday and Sunday. Places are very busy and doing well, which is great for the local economies as well, which I'm happy to see. But that said, I think if you were to go further downtown, you know, in the financial district or even in Midtown, where typically you would see a lot of tourists congregating, there that hasn't returned yet. So it is a lot quieter than the typical New York that we all know and love. But I think the local communities and the people who live here, you know, full time, they are getting on with it and making the best of this, you know, strange year and just trying to adapt.
Yeah, and I'm sure everything will go back to normal as soon as we get a vaccine.
We hope so.
Your CV is a thing of dreams. I'm sure, you know, young people looking at your CV, young Irish girls with big dreams would look at, you know, the jobs that you've had and the people you've worked with, and it's so inspiring for them. So tell us a little bit about why you decided to move to New York and what your first job was in the States.
Yeah, so I moved to New York because I'm very lucky. I have dual citizenship. So my mother is from Boston, and I've always had an American passport as well as my Irish one. And I had spent several summers in college over here doing that typical 3 months J1 experience of interning and living with friends. And I guess I just really fell in love with the city and all that it has to offer. And I think even in those short summers, I really got a glimpse at the opportunities that are here for, you know, career development, especially for someone in their early 20s, as I was when I moved. So I convinced Cahill, he at the time wasn't gone on the idea of coming. And I said, please, please, let's just go for a year and see what it's like. And here we are nearly 6 years later, which is hilarious. But I came here, and like everyone, I started waitressing because I had no idea what I wanted to do. Just got out of college, didn't have a lot of money. I said, let me just start getting something in. And then, you know, when I was off from work, I went through the rigorous cycle of applying for jobs. And it's really New York as a newly graduated person. It's a very, very competitive city. And I think you have to think that the best of the best from around the world come here for these amazing opportunities. So I really wasn't picky when I got here. I was like, I'll just see what I can get. And I know you should never say that you got somewhere because of luck, but with my first opportunity in New York, which was working as a social media manager at MTV, a brand that I grew up loving and watching on TV, I have to say it was 100% being in the right place, the right time, and somebody liking the look of my Instagram page, would you believe, is actually what got me that job. So a lot of luck to get me that first role. And it was an incredible first experience in your career. I was, you know, creating social content with all of these top tier musicians and actresses and getting to cover amazing award shows like the VMAs in LA and the Movie Awards. And it was just honestly such an incredible experience, and one that really kind of prepared me then for the rest of my career as well.
Wow, that is so exciting. And so you went then from MTV to Teen Vogue.
Yes.
So tell us about that time, because you've been to the Met Gala 3 times. Mm-hmm. I've seen the photos. You've been a stone's throw away from Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. are you pinching yourself in those moments?
Yes, goodness, absolutely. So getting the job at Teen Vogue was truly like a dream job. I think, you know, growing up loving fashion and actually, when I go home at Christmas, I have a stack of Teen Vogue's in my bedside lockers still. So to have gotten a job there for me at the time was just such an achievement that I was so proud of. And it was such a wonderful time to work at the brand, because it was really going under a complete rehaul from being, you know, that typical teenage fashion and beauty magazine that we all knew and loved, to actually expanding its audience and talking about real important topics like, you know, what was happening in the presidential election back in 2016, racial justice movement, and everything that it was such a learning experience as a person for me to just be sitting with these editors writing such meaningful pieces every day. And then besides that, of course, as you mentioned, like getting to do the things that I got to do there was just incredible, you know, getting to cover Fashion Week. And as you said, the Met Gala, that was just, I don't think I'll ever have an experience that will top going to the Met again. I actually remember I used to go into the office on the mornings of the Met and do, you know, a half a day of work. And then I would start getting ready in the bathroom before getting a taxi up. And I remember my first Met Gala being on the phone to my mom coming up and saying, "Mom, like, I don't think you understand. This is probably the biggest moment I'll ever have. Bigger than my wedding. There just won't be anything to top this." And that was just my first year. Little did I know I'd get to go for 2 more years as well. And it's such an event of such magnitude. And really every single top tier talent across fashion and music and actresses and actors, everyone is there, like you name it, they've all been there. And to get to be there in person, it's actually a very strange experience, Georgie, because you want to be like, oh my God, flipping out, like there's Harry Styles, there's the Olsen twins, like literally an arm's throw away from me. But then it's actually an incredible stressful situation too, because you're working. So I have 2 phones in my hand, like 3 backup chargers at my feet, trying to get all the content and uploading it to the social channels and as quick as you can as well. Because, you know, when you work in social, like being the first to post something on a major publishing platform, it's all about being the first. So you want to be quick and on your feet as well as taking in this incredible experience. So definitely fond memories for life.
And that's the thing. It's a stressful job because you have a very small window to get the shot, get the content, yes, get it all up there. Like, how do you kind of manage in those situations? Are you like a calm person?
Oh God. You know, I think if anyone met me, I'm definitely not a calm person, but something just comes over me in those times of needing to get it done that I just get it done. And then afterwards I will freak out. I'll sit there after the carpet closes and be like, oh my God, what just happened? And then come home to sit on my tiny couch in my tiny apartment and look through all of the photos of this amazing experience. So, you know, I think an ounce of professionalism really has to come into play as well in those situations. You know, you really can't be shouting at everyone being like, oh my God, Kim, I love you. You look so beautiful, even though that's what you really want to do.
Yeah. And my God, like you go from MTV to Teen Vogue, so amazing. And then you told me during the week that then Samantha Barry recruits you for Glamour magazine. I mean, that's just incredible.
Yeah. So Sam, it's so funny. When Sam got the role of editor-in-chief at Glamour, I actually wasn't familiar with Sam prior to that point. And, you know, all of the headlines came out like Irish woman takes the realm. And I was like, how is this happening that I haven't known Sam? And then she's getting this incredible role at Condé Nast. And I remember looking her up on Instagram, and she actually followed me previously to that. And I wrote to her and I said, oh my goodness, I can't believe there's going to be another Irish girl at Condé, because at that point, I don't think there really was. And then I had spotted her a few times in the office and said hi, even though we kind of sat on different floors. And then a couple months later, Condé Nast were having their big holiday Christmas party in the building. And I spotted Sam, and she's like, oh, I have a senior social role opening up, like, if you'd be interested. And, you know, I was really excited to work with an Irish woman because, you know, Georgie, my whole career really has been here in New York, and the thought of working with another Irish woman really made me excited. And she was doing wonderful things, you know, bringing Glamour into the digital era, and I knew social was a big part of that as well. So I was thrilled to kind of make that move over to Glamour and working with an incredible team there. And just actually to tell you how incredible Sam is, I actually was only at Glamour for a couple of months before I got recruited for my current role at Instagram, which is another story. But, you know, when I had to go in and give in my notice, I was absolutely heartbroken, because I'm not really somebody that likes to disappoint people, you know, who have believed in them and kind of took a chance on them. So I remember that morning going in, I was absolutely sick to my stomach. I actually think I might have got sick in the toilets at work. And I went to Sam's door and I knocked on it, and she knew instantly. I think I was probably already crying at this point. And I said, you know, Sam, like, I'm so sorry, but this opportunity that I can't turn down has come up. And do you know, the first thing she said to me was, well, can I help you negotiate your salary? Can I put you in touch with people that I know who have worked there to hear about their experience? Like, she was completely selfless. Did not, yeah. You know, obviously she was disappointed I was leaving, but like, her first call was like, let me help this, you know, woman who's also trying to grow in her career do the best that she can do. And I think from that moment on, like, I had such a level of respect for her, and I was just like astounded, because especially, you know, you watch movies like The Devil Wears Prada and all of these stories, and you see editors at these major fashion magazines, and, you know, it's kind of true that typically they are not the nicest people, or at least not the most selfless people. You know, they all have often at times, you know, big egos and big characters. And for Sam at that moment to just kind of say, take herself out of the equation and be like, how can I help you, meant the absolute world to me. So I have huge respect for Sam, and like, she's doing incredible things at Glamour and has an incredible team working under her, you know, telling important stories for women and covering them in a real thoughtful and sensitive way. So definitely have very, very fond memories of my time working with her and the team, even though it was short but sweet.
It's incredible to hear that about Sam. I'm a big, big fan of Samantha Barry. And, you know, she started in News Talk and has gone on now and has this amazing job. And it's kind of, I suppose it's sometimes hard for us here to kind of comprehend exactly what Sam is doing over there and how much of a big deal, you know, her job really is. But tell us about the kind of change that Sam has brought to Glamour and the kind of difference she is making there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, Glamour is kind of an institutional magazine, or it was before it turned to digital only. You know, it had been around for, I think, 30 plus years now. Don't quote me on that, but had always been kind of one of the most forward-thinking women's magazines, you know, covering really important topics like women's healthcare and the right to choice and things of that nature. But at the time before Sam came in, I think it was ready for a little bit of a facelift. I think it was needing to move with the times and looking at, you know, important things for digital, like video production and social content and social first content. And obviously then, you know, an up and running website that was bringing in great traffic. And I think Sam was the reason she got hired, you know, for that important role is because she was a digital first thinker and still is, you know, based on her previous experience. And she just came in and she took what was already wonderful about Glamour and just bought it online in a bigger way, and expanded, you know, the audience to be able to actually access Glamour as well. And even though the magazine was, I guess the word is shut down, but that didn't stop Glamour's growth in terms of, you know, reaching people and telling stories that are of such importance. And I think Sam really has done a wonderful thing of, you know, making it relatable. I think one thing that I loved about what she did at Glamour, I think she put a quote on or a cap on the cost of clothes that would be featured online. And I don't know what the amount was, but I think it could have been maybe under $1,000 or maybe even less, maybe $500. And for a magazine or a women's publication to do that, you know, when you're so used to seeing things that are so out of your reach and so unaffordable, for her to make it relatable to the everyday woman and achievable, I think was one of the most successful things she's done with the brand.
It's amazing to hear your firsthand experience with her.
Yeah.
And great to know that, you know, two Irish girls abroad would be looking out for each other like that. It's really heartwarming.
I'll get back to that conversation in just a minute. But first, I wanted to give you an update on my Sonic toothbrush. Great teeth start with Spotlight Oral Care's Sonic toothbrush, the oral care staple. Designed with both efficiency and comfort in mind, it ensures an amazing clean as it is gentle and effective in removing plaque and discoloration, even for sensitive teeth. The 2-minute timer and high frequency brush movement, along with 3 speed settings for personalized cleaning, sensitive, clean, and white, will improve your long-term oral health. With a travel case and personalization options available, it's the ideal gift for you or a loved one this Christmas. Check out spotlightoralcare.com for more. Now, back to my conversation.
So you went on to Instagram and, you know, you've gone from MTV, Teen Vogue, Glamour, Instagram, like, you obviously really trust your gut and trust yourself in terms of, you know, making the leap and taking chances.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because I do feel like for each of the places I've worked, I have, besides MTV, as I mentioned, which was just like winning the lottery, I could never have dreamed of getting my first job there. But after there, I kind of did have it in my head, like, these are the places I would like to work. And Instagram was always kind of in the back of my head, but I knew that it was an incredibly competitive company to get a job at, especially here in the New York office. And I think it's just, you know, in New York anyways, there seems to be, when you're in your 20s, it's the time to, you know, try different places and learn as much as you can from each of those places and keep moving, which I feel like in Ireland, it might be different now. I could be wrong, but it seems to be a little bit of the opposite, that, you know, people really get in a place and grow there, which is incredible, which is what I feel like Instagram is for me. It's like, I knew I would never have gotten a job here given if I didn't have all of this experience at these incredible brands. But that said, it's hard as well to go out of your comfort zone because, you know, when you're in a job, changing a job, I don't care what anybody says, is one of the most stressful things, especially for me personally. Like, I really don't do well adjusting to change, and it takes me quite a while to find my feet somewhere. And the thing about, somebody said to me, I think my aunt said to me, like, your 20s is not a time to get comfortable. It's a time to step out of your comfort zone, keep pushing yourself to learn as much as you can and get as much different experiences as you can. And while that's so hard at times, it truly is like the best advice I would have for anyone kind of starting out in your career in your 20s is just to push yourself and get out of your comfort zone and look for opportunities that will help you grow and do just that along the way.
I worked in Spain for 10 years and I was just, I don't know if it was like a lack of confidence or self-belief, but I just really felt like I got into such a rut and,
yeah,
you know, was afraid to take a chance on myself. But it's amazing to hear your story and, you know, listen to your advice because it will help so many people. And so pre-pandemic, what was a daily life in Instagram like for you?
Yeah, so I had, as I mentioned earlier, like I've always been a huge person who relies on routine just to get through life, honestly, Georgie. but my routine, honestly, Monday through Friday, I love doing Pilates. So I would typically always take a class in the morning. And I always looked at that 1 hour as, okay, this is my offline hour, nobody can contact me, I don't have to be on email. And that is just the best way when you work in digital and you're kind of always online. Starting your day with that hour of peace for me has been incredible. And then I would walk to the office, and we have a very cool office at Instagram. Next time you're in New York post pandemic, you'll have to come visit. But we have like an ice cream bar, we have a juice bar and all of the most incredible food, which is a lot of fun. But then in my typical workday, you know, there's a lot of meetings. Sometimes we'll have creators come in to do shoots. Sometimes we'll have brainstorm sessions. And working in social, it's kind of one of those industries that never truly stops. Like even this week, for instance, it's Thanksgiving week here in New York, and I've been off all week, but at the same time, social doesn't stop. So you're still on every day for, you know, a little bit, checking in and posting things and making sure things are moving along. So it's just one of those environments that is always on. And that said, it's important in that case, and for anyone else who works in social, is to really kind of create or try your best to implement some sort of work-life balance, which at times in New York has definitely been hard for me. And, you know, it's funny, Georgie, like we're talking about, you know, it's been wonderful. You've worked here, here and here, and the CV of dreams. And I'm so proud of, like, you know, what I have achieved in my short few years here in New York. But at the same time, like, it's funny, I was saying to Cahill over the weekend, I look at some of my friends they've kind of taken a different route, and, you know, they have a great job that they love, but instead they've prioritized traveling the world and going here and there. And mm-hmm. I do feel like kind of getting to this point in my career, like, has come at the expense of some maybe incredible personal experiences, because, you know, you do have to make sacrifices, I think, in New York, in such a competitive city, to kind of get where you want to get to.
Yeah, absolutely. And all of this was going on in your life, and you were also running your blog, Life of a Lady Bear, on the side. So I love your blog. It's beautiful. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And apologies for the sirens outside my window. That is the New York way of life. So my blog, I actually started several years ago in college, I actually did biomedical science. When I did my leaving cert, the only thing I had in my head was to do medicine. And then I didn't get the points for medicine in my leaving cert and was gutted. But I said, I'll do biomedical science and then I'll go into graduate medicine. And then by the time I finished biomed, I was like, I just don't have it in me to go back to start from the start and do another 5 years. So I was like, what else can I do that would be interesting to me? And at that time, I really wasn't sure, but I kind of had an inkling that, you know, maybe going into marketing or digital marketing would be something that I'd be interested in. So I actually started the blog to kind of teach myself some basic skills at that time, like, you know, learning about website design and SEO and social and editing photos and videos and things of that nature. Like, so that's where Life of a Lady Bear was born from. And then as I kind of went on in life and things started moving, it kind of transformed into like my diary and a place where I could really take note of what was going on in life. And that became so important when I moved to New York. And it was kind of my way of showing my family back home what I was getting up to on the weekends, cute little places I went to, nice restaurants and things of that nature. And it's always just been such a kind of place that I love and can just be myself on. And I think over times, as work has become busier, the blog has kind of become, you know, less of a priority for me. But that said, I still look at my Instagram almost kind of like a mini blog, and more so share things on that nowadays, you know, what we're getting up to in New York and fun things that I would have been doing at work prior to the pandemic. And it's just a great way to keep in touch with people back home. But then also, obviously now it has also grown to be more than that, and kind of having a little community around you of people that have similar interests. And that's what I really love about it. I love when people send me pictures of dogs or flowers because they're like, oh, I saw this and I thought you'd like it. I'm like, you guys know me so well. And the other thing about Instagram, it's just been a wonderful way to make friends and meet new people, especially when I moved to New York and throughout my time here. It's really been the best place to connect with like-minded people, and so many friendships have been started from it, my Instagram as well. So that's one thing I really love about it.
Yeah, all the good sides of social media, which is lovely.
Yes.
Because there is a good side to social media. I've definitely experienced it myself. So in terms of like the future, are you a New Yorker now? Do you see yourself ever moving home?
Oh, goodness. The never ending question. You know what, Georgie, I want to move home at some point. Like I love New York. And even in, as I mentioned in the past year, like I feel more at home here than I ever have. And honestly, when I look back to my first year or two, I was so unsettled here. Like I remember one time Cahill wanted to buy a TV in our second year here, I think. And I said, why would we get a TV? Sure, we're moving home in a few months. Like we're not going to be here to have a TV. And he actually got mad at me. He was like, Michaela, like, you just need to be where you are and be present and not always worried about like what's the next step. And that was eye-opening for me because I didn't actually realize that that's what I was doing. I was honestly living for moving home. And once he said that to me, it really did shift my mindset to be like, you know you want to move home at some point, but then also enjoy where you are for the moment, because these days you'll never have again. You know, when I'm, you know, 50 living in a nice little cottage back home with lots of dogs, I'll look back at this crazy period of life and be like, wow, like that was something to experience. So I am trying my best nowadays in the past year or two to really just be present and enjoy New York. And there's so much I love about it here, Georgie. Like I love the seasons. Like I love Halloween around here on the Upper East Side, seeing all of the beautiful houses and seeing the city come alive at Christmas. And there's a part of me that's like, oh gosh, I could never leave this. Like it feels my whole adult life really has been here. And to think of not having these things that you look forward to every year is definitely difficult for me. But I think at the end of the day, you know, you want to be at home with family. And, you know, in the future, when we hopefully, you know, have kids and things like that, like I would like them to grow up in the countryside like I did. And I think people in New York, kids especially, grow up very quickly, especially in Manhattan. So I don't know if I could see myself here at that stage of life. But then again, who knows? We're just taking it as it comes right now.
I only learned that, you know, you shouldn't keep worrying about what's next when I got sick. And yeah, it made me appreciate the now and every second of my life. And what would you do if you wake up and you're homesick? Do you have, you know,
yeah,
things that you turn to?
Absolutely. And it happens all the time. And some of my friends think I'm crazy because they don't experience homesickness like I do, especially after having been here for 5.5 years. But I do. I wake up on days and I see, you know, As I said, I FaceTime my family all the time and I see my niece back home getting bigger. And like one of my family dogs passed away a couple of months ago. And just not being there to kind of experience those things with your family is tough. But I do have a few things. I think I'm like you, Georgie, like being out in nature, like I find very healing and find it just wonderful for my mental health in general. So I just go and I walk and I walk and I walk. And at the end of the day, I'll feel better. And obviously I'm so lucky as well, like having Cahill here. And now with Duke, it's like we have our own little family here too. So that has helped as well. But definitely just trying to get out and take your mind off of those feelings, because it is hard. And that's why I always do typically try and get home every 6 months or so, because it's always nice when you leave to think to yourself, okay, I'll be back in 6 months. Everyone is healthy. Everything will be okay. Because I am somebody who struggles so much with those goodbyes coming back. Like I will be crying from Galway to Dublin the whole plane or car ride up. And it definitely hits me hard, and it hits my family hard as well. And sometimes I feel awful guilty having to put them through it, because I know they'd only love for me to be home, but they also understand, you know, for this stage of life, I'm where I need to be for the moment.
Yeah. And you obviously believe, you know, that the universe has your back, and you believe that you are where you're meant to be.
Yeah, I do. I do honestly think, and I know I can say this because I've, you know, things have worked out in ways for me. And I know I say like what's for me won't pass me. And I know for other people, you know, who experience things in life that are, you know, traumatic, and they can find it hard to find the reason in those things. And I understand that as well. But I always try and say like what's for me won't pass me, and live like that, because I think it just brings a sense of comfort to me, honestly, because if I thought it was all up to me where I'd be going or what I'd be doing, I think it would be, you know, too much stress. So I'm just on the journey and trying to go where it takes me.
Would I be right in saying that you were glued to the election? You left your apartment for a few minutes and the news broke that Biden would be the next president of America.
Yes. Oh my goodness. What a day that was to be in New York. And I know we were chatting that day on Instagram, and Cahill and I have been glued to the election. And I would never have said I was politically involved in my whole life until I started working at Teen Vogue. And when I said that was a learning experience for me, that's what I learned about. I learned about US politics. I learned about what was wrong and what was right about it. And from then, I've actually always had an interest in what was happening in our political system. And I think, honestly, in the past 4 years, people have become a little bit more politically involved. So, you know, we've been tuning in to even as far back as like the Democratic debates, and seeing Joe Biden win on Election Day after however many days of waiting for vote counts to come in. And there was a time, I think the second day, where we weren't sure it was going to swing blue, but we were heading to the vet with Duke, and we were just walking around Lexington Avenue, and I started hearing pots and pans clapper and horns start beeping. And I said to Cahill, I said, oh my gosh, does this mean what we think it means? And we popped on Twitter and then saw that Joe had been called as the winner. And like, look at me say Joe as if I know him. but we were just so excited. We were like, oh my goodness, jumping around. And just being out on the streets and to hear that way was such a magical way. And then, of course, then as an hour or two passed, everyone started congregating in the streets, which, you know, at a time of COVID, you know, people obviously were taking measures, but it was almost like a brief reprieve where people were like, oh my goodness, this is 1 ounce of good news we've had, you know, and soaking it up. And people were dancing and out drinking in Central Park. People had like champagne bottles popping. It was so lovely to see. And especially because over the past 4 years, like, we've experienced so many cultural moments here of not a positive nature. Like, you know, we've seen the Women's March year after year take over the streets of New York. Back in June, we marched in the Black Lives Matter protest. And for there to be a moment of joy where people were coming together was just honestly the most magical day I've ever had in New York so far. So a real incredible experience to have.
Wow, I'd say it was just electric. So it obviously gives you hope then for the future of America.
Oh, absolutely. I think this is a page that's being turned. I think for the past 4 years, people have honestly become numb to different things that have happened. I think, you know, they're like, oh, great, this terrible policy was passed, or, you know, the president said this, and it doesn't faze anyone anymore, you know. I do think the country is still very divided. And I think the closeness of the race really does show that. There's a lot of people living in this country who have very, very different perspectives and opinions on things, which is okay. You know, there's always going to be a divide in ways, but I don't think there has ever been a divide like this. And I think Joe Biden has his work cut out for him to try and heal the country in that way. But that said, I do think there's going to be a lot of positive changes in the next year or two. And I think that people will start to kind of naturally come together and heal, which I'm looking forward to, definitely.
Wow. Michaela, I could literally talk to you all day long. I wish there was like a reality show about your life, because I just think it is so glam and gorgeous. And I love everything that you have to say. Thank you so much for your time today. And I suppose anyone listening who is abroad and is trying their best to get home for this Christmas, I hope they have a safe journey. And you too, Michaela. And I hope you have a gorgeous Christmas with your family.
Oh, absolutely, Georgie. Thank you so much for having me on. And same to you. I hope this Christmas brings everything for everyone.
We'll have to meet up someday.
Hopefully, maybe you'll get to New York at some point and we can hang.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Michaela.
Thanks, Georgie.
For listening to the Go Glow podcast, with thanks to Spotlight Oral Care. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to my podcast and leave a review. It would really mean a lot. And if you want to learn more about my story, you can follow me on Instagram at georgie.crawford or head over to my website, thegoglow.ie.